First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!" Get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com, where you can get all of the latest. All of the latest we want you to have anyway. How's that? While you're visiting those websites, please do us a favor and join our RSS feed and our email newsletter, and we will make sure that everything comes to you direct and through your inbox. I tell you, it's the start of a brand new week. There's always a lot going on, but nothing gets started at the new week without saying hello to our good friend, Mr. Ed Martin. How are you, sir? Mr. Martin. Hello? Ed, are you there? Well, Ed is showing up in a queue. Where is Ed? I'm not sure. We'll find out. In the meantime, we have a lot to talk about. I tell you, it's really amazing to me how much is really going on here in Louisville with the races. As we know, we get hung up a lot in talking about these races. And, you know, really, it's comical sometimes how the races actually go here. But I tell you, it's as funny as it seems sometimes, as funny as in real life as it turns out to be. This week we're going to focus a little bit on handicapping these races as we can and take it from there. Hopefully Mr. Martin will join us in just a moment. I'm not sure what's going on with that at the time. But let's get started. According to the Courier-Journal, WFPL, we use a whole host of all kinds of different things that need to be done, and a whole host of different avenues. I tell you, before we go any further, I'm going to take a quick break and see if I can figure out what's going on with Martin. Hang on one second here, folks. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. It. I don't know. He is in the queue. Not sure what's going on here, but I guess we'll find out. In the meantime, let's just get rolling. I tell you what, as I mentioned before, we went to this unintended break. You know, there's a lot of things going on into election season, especially here in Louisville, Kentucky. Of course, we do have one of the biggest races being watched on a national stage in this primary with Mitch McConnell and Matt Bevin. We'll get into some of that here in a few minutes. But, you know, we use all kinds of sources. We do our own research. You know, we look at people like the Courier-Journal, and we know who they're going to endorse. But sometimes they do give us a good outlook on other people. Ed, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Sorry. Had a malfunction on my end. I looked down and was like, oh, hell. Why does it say I'm on hold?
You were on mute, right?
Yeah.
I figured as much. That's why I mentioned it, because I tried to call you back on another line, and it didn't work either during the quick break. But anyway, though, you know, that's okay. We're going to go ahead and get started with this. You know, we use all kinds of sources. We talk to candidates. We, you know, look at other people and endorsements and things like that. And I tell you, this could be a real interesting election cycle for Louisville. And I want to get into the Mitch McConnell thing if we can tonight, because there's all kinds of good news coming out about Allison Lundig and Grimes. And, well, I say good news. It's just more comedy to me. But
We'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, the thing is for me, we always have a tendency to focus on these federal elections, like the Mitch McConnell races and all of that stuff. But what we fail to do, really, truthfully, is spend a lot of attention. People really look at the Mitch McConnell races, but they don't pay much attention to the bread and butter races that actually affect their everyday lives more, and that's the local races. So for us, this year, the Metro Council races are the odd number districts. We have 26 council members, odd number districts, 1, 3, 5, 7, et cetera. Those are the ones that are up for re-election. We're going to spend our time talking a little bit in handicapping tonight and tomorrow night, a lot of the local elections, a lot of the federal elections, and, you know, because next Tuesday is election day, and tonight and tomorrow night, quite frankly, is the only nights I get with you, man, so we're going to put you to work. How's that sound?
Okay, well, hopefully I'm better at handicapping political races than horse races. Wow.
I tell you, I know, ain't that right? But let's get started, man. Let's head into District 1. You know, with District 1, we have the incumbent Attica Woodson Scott, you know, calls herself a progressive. I call her a communist. But she's also facing off against Jessica Green. What makes this race so interesting is the fact that Attica Scott, you know, we know she's a communist in disguise, but Jessica Green is also the daughter of former impeached Metro Councilwoman Judy Green, which is how Attica Scott got her job in the first place. It was how she got that seat open to elect her in the first place. The dynamics here are fascinating because the people in the district really don't like Attica Scott. I've talked to 100 people in that district, and they can't stand her. They think she's dead wrong for the district. However, there's a lot of mistrust in Judy Green's daughter, primarily because of the name, I guess. I personally have no love lost for Jessica Green. You know, I think that she is a racist, and I've got the documentation to prove why I feel that way. So looking at this race, who wins, who loses, and why?
Well, I hope Jessica Green wins because I'm also, you know, I'm one for, you know, I can look at it and say, yeah, you and her mom, and you had your run-ins, and you won.
Always, go ahead.
I think once Byrne, you know, I think she's picked up on that. I think she knows that, so I think she'll actually be more cautious. I think a lot of the people in Attica Scott's district, her idea of urban renewal there for a while was bulldozing houses, not preemptively not seeing them fall into disrepair, but bulldozing them, which, you know, great. Now they've got a vacant lot. I think the Walmart thing is going to, and to me, if I were in that district, it would be the Walmart thing that gets in there most. You have an area with no jobs, or a job desert, a food desert, a discount services desert, whether it's automotive or whatever. And Attica Scott is basically seemingly doing everything she can to throw sand in the gears of that area, getting a retailer, love them or hate them, Walmart, that can bring a lot of convenience to a lot of people in that area. And I think, even though it's private sector, that's a huge thing. And I think Jessica Green coming out in favor of it is, to me, that's the deal. That's what separates them in my book. So I think you've got Ms. Green is more economic development and a little more inclusive, I guess you could say, you know, wants to bring, for better or worse, it depends on your opinion of Walmart, wants to bring that section of town up to a par with everything from Hurstburn Lane to Dixie Highway. Anywhere else it's got a Walmart, you know, I love them. I'll say it. I love shopping right at Walmart. Their food prices are great. But, yeah, I think that's a deal breaker. I think that, and like I say, Attica Scott, enough people were basically doing the head-scratching thing when she allocated a given amount of money just to flatten some houses and create some vacant lots.
The thing for me is I agree with a lot of what you're saying, by the way. And you know, for me, we have no good choice of this particular race, in my opinion. Jessica Green is an attorney. She's a racist, in my opinion, based on personal dealings with her. At the same time, I also have to understand that, you know, I did take out her mom. You know, I did win against Judy Greene. She was impeached, and Jessica has some hardship to me for that, so maybe she's not really a racist, but that's certainly the way that she portrays herself to be. You know, but at the same time, then you have the communist Attica Woodson Scott. You know, the Courier Journal, of course, is picking Scott because they like communists, and I'm getting sick of this term, social justice advocate. There is no social justice when all you're concerned with is yourself. That's not social justice. But when you bring up Walmart and things like that, you know, then I have to look at what Attica Scott did in there. For one thing, she decided she wanted to try to hold Walmart hostage to make them pay what she considers a living wage, which is over $10 an hour. She wanted to try to hold them hostage to make sure that the only people they hired lived in her neighborhood, and so many other things was infallible. And I find it really interesting because Attica Woodson Scott also aligns with Congressman John Yarmuth and this whole social justice tag that they keep trying to put out there on us. All that means is communism to me, and I tell you why. I've got a good friend of mine down in Florida this week. I won't mention their name on air, but they're down in Florida this week, so they decided to stop by Sonny's Barbecue. We know Sonny's Barbecue. John Yarmuth's family owns it, right? John Yarmuth is an owner of Sonny's Barbecue. So they decided to stop in there and just see what his restaurant was like. And while they were there, this particular person, always great for getting us information, so they decided to talk to the waitress there. And I tell you what, this particular waitress that is there has been there for 10 years, has worked at Sonny's Barbecue for 10 years. John Yarmuth's family owns this. John Yarmuth and people like Attica Scott continue to sit out there talking about how we need to raise the minimum wage and everything else. John Yarmuth, as a business owner, can do that anytime he wants to on his own. But this particular waitress has been there 10 years. Makes $2.32 an hour, has never had a raise. There are no benefits, but she wouldn't give her name and go on record and didn't want to be identified because at least Sonny's Barbecue is kind enough to allow her to work a second job so she can support her family. Now, to me, that is about as hypocritical as it gets, and that's what we get with somebody like Attica Scott. So as reluctant as I am, I'm with you. I would like to see Jessica Greene in this seat, give her a chance to do things the right way, and maybe, you know, take the tarnish off the Greene name that her mom brought on. District 3, Mary Wooldridge, of course, you know, has been there forever, 71 years old. She's running against a guy that I can't even believe or fathom anybody would vote for, former constable, booted constable, indicted, plea bargained David Whitlock has decided to try to run for federal
council. And a lousy shot, David Whitlock, too.
Right, right, yeah. I mean, this guy shoots an unarmed woman in a vehicle moving out of Walmart because she was accused of shoplifting. He didn't witness it. He just got called by a Walmart employee. There's still a lawsuit going on and everything else with that. This guy took a plea bargain. Admitted, you know, he took the Alford plea and everything else. So he took a plea bargain, went into, you know, yet another situation where he didn't have to serve time in jail. Diversion program. This is not the first diversion program this guy has been in for illegal behavior. Mary Woolridge wins that handily, doesn't she?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. Because if you know, like I say, it's one of the few times you're going to catch us both saying, please, you know, please, for the love of God, vote for Mary Woolridge.
Right,
Although I'll give you this much, if by some chance Whitlock somehow manages to pull it off, we've got stuff to talk about for the next 4 years. I mean, that's the idiot zone right there, man. It's like, you know, I know one guy, although he never goes against the party, but there's probably a couple councilmen out there that wouldn't mind seeing Whitlock get on. That way they could move up the pecking order of intelligence.
Well, you might have a point there. Democrats are stupid enough to elect this guy. And to be honest with you, I'm no fan of Mary Woolridge. I think Mary Woolridge needs to go. She's one of the people that I think are a hindrance to progress Louisville and moving Louisville forward. But I can't in all good conscience sit here and tell everybody that David Whitlock needs to be elected. This guy is a nut job and a basket case. I hope that the people of the district know better than that. You know, and it's interesting, too, because the Courier Journal invites all candidates to come in, you know, for their editorial board. Now, I knew when I went to meet with the Courier Journal during my races, I would never get an endorsement from them in a general election. I did, however, get an endorsement from them in a primary, which really surprised me, but I didn't think I would ever get an endorsement in a general election, but you still show up for the interview because it's important. Because if nothing else, trying to put a story out, you're going to get name recognition. If nothing else, whether they like you, don't like you, or anything else, it's a great opportunity to be out there in the public eye, because you know whatever few people left in Louisville do read the Courier Journal. Typically, it's where they get their news. So, you know, the newspaper kind of deal. So he wouldn't even show up for that, didn't want to be bothered with it. And you know, I think that it was pretty obvious that he doesn't have anything to bring, even if anybody thought he did.
They probably wouldn't have. He probably wanted them to send the questions to him using small words and large print, like a first-grade textbook. And, you know, they wouldn't. So he didn't have a chance to write the answers down ahead of time, so he wouldn't go. I mean, he's probably not capable of answering the question on the fly.
Well, you know, I think you're right. And, you know, that is really interesting. This isn't a guy who could do anything on the fly. Without this so-called badge and everything else, you know, he doesn't have anything to offer. So it's interesting to see how that's going to work. You know, we've got to move on to District 5, and I tell you, that one's going to be interesting as well. And I'll tell you why it's going to be interesting. We have a contrast here between two people, and it's one of them is Keith Morgan. He's a 44-year-old TARC custodian. He has some very great ideas on how to improve the community in the 5th District. But he's running against Sherry Bryant Hamilton, incumbent. Now, as we know, you know, Sherry Bryant Hamilton is going to get the endorsement of Courier Journal and did, while others out there are really looking at things in a bigger light. You know, for one thing, the Courier Journal tassels one of her successes is this city law to limit the hours of alcohol sales. As we know, you can't buy beer now after 2 a.m. at a convenience store on your way home from work. But they're not willing to tell us what's really going on here, because when she did that, all she did was create more drunk drivers. If you can't get a beer after work and drink at home, then you're going to get a beer at a bar that can still sell alcohol that is still open until 4 a.m. So this wasn't such a great thing to me or to the people of this city. It actually hurts the city. But 44-year-old Keith Morgan had one problem. He actually failed a drug test a few years ago when he was a supervisor in the Parks Department. That is the one thing that holds him back. That's the one thing that brings him as a TARC custodian. I personally like the fact that he came clean with it. He took full responsibility for failing this test. And I also have a real problem because of the hypocrisy in Louisville government. Because as we know, former Parks Director, the Director of the Louisville Parks Department, Mike Heitz, got caught on film and on camera drinking at a bar and then going out and driving a city-owned vehicle. Drinking and driving, and, you know, so this guy failed one drug test, and his career is ruined, and yet we have the director of the Louisville Metro Parks Department drinking and driving. The guy who's a whistleblower ended up losing his job, but the Parks Department director didn't suffer any consequences. Ed, what do we do here?
I missed his name. Phone went dead there for a second. But I'm for some new blood. I'm for some, you know, again, they're flawed. People are flawed. They're humans. But right now, our city is a pretty big mess, and I think we've got a guy with some supervisory capabilities, some experience from, I guess you could say, from the trenches. He's been out there, whether it's Parks Department, sanitation, or whatever. He literally has been hands-on with how things work. And you know me, I've got nothing but love for somebody that actually gets their hands dirty, you know, and can look at it, and it's like, yeah, you got your papers, you got your discretionary plan, you got whatever, you got your little votes on the TV, you know, on the public access. But no, we got a guy here who can identify with the workers, who can identify with the job, who can identify with the services being delivered. I like that. I like that a lot.
Well, see, I like Morgan in this race. You know, Sherry Brown Hamilton will probably win. Of course, she's going to get the endorsement of the Courier Journal. She'll probably win because of that, because they don't really look beyond the so-called progressive communist way of doing things. This whole drinking city law for package sales is very disturbing in the fact that nobody thought one time about increasing drunk drivers out on the road. You know, I would rather have somebody drinking at home.
Well, no, it's not only that, but it's almost like Sherry Brown Hamilton doesn't know what a cooler is.
Right. Yeah, and
you know,
sure.
You load up, you buy a small bag of ice. You know, if you want to drink after work, you put the thing in the back of your car. You know, like take Siri, it's called a cooler. You know,
sure.
They don't let you in Churchill Downs with it, but most people have access to these things called coolers.
Well, there you
real.
Go. Exactly. So
you know, you just want to look at somebody like that and says, you've got to be kidding me, really.
Well, and you know, the biggest thing here is, you know, the Courier Journal actually reports and says that, you know, Democrats should vote for her again to face a Republican challenger in the fall. So it's clearly obvious to me that the only thing they're interested in, once again, is not good, balanced journalism. It's trying to pick and choose who they want to install because they're part of that liberal establishment. You know, the fact that there's a Republican challenger in November, who cares? We want to pick the best candidates. And for me in this district, I'll be honest with you, District 5, Keith Morgan, I believe, is the best candidate. Even the Courier Journal says that he would be an excellent addition to any council or committee or anything else that when Sherry Brown Hamilton wins, if she decides to put him on any committee or anything else, he'd be perfect for it. Well, that tells me he's ready to lead, but they just can't go against their favorite. District 7. This is going to be an interesting race. Incumbent Ken Fleming, of course, Republican incumbent District 7, has announced that he would not seek reelection. So they basically got two candidates. You've got Angela Lee. She's an engineer and small business owner, 44 years old, and Sean Sloan, who's an account executive for Time Warner Cable. You know, this is going to be interesting. It's really interesting because Sloan is one of those, again, that did not meet with the Courier Journal. And I tell you, I'm already worried about this Sloan guy without doing a hell of a lot of background checks on him just because of his association with Time Warner Cable and their cozy association with the Metro Council and city government. You know, I personally hope that Angela Leet, who is a small business owner and an engineer, so she had a lot to bring to the table and replace Ken Fleming in that district. I think Angela Leet would probably be a good addition. How about you?
I think so. I mean, I hate to sound like the end of Jerry Maguire, but you had me at small business owner. I mean, that's, you know, engineer, that's great too. But we've got a small business owner, and not that sex absolutely does not play a role with me, but I do like to see women moving up through the Republican ranks.
Well,
especially
small
business owner engineer types. I mean, those are two pretty strong credentials. And I'm with you. The whole Time Warner thing, you know, you might as well be with the Airport Authority or the Waterfront Development Corporation or something like that. Whether you were or were not, your former employer was a little too cozy with local government. Probably cut some, you know, you're probably
sure.
A fan of, or at least a disciple of, the backroom deal with a major corporation. I'm not real comfy with that.
I agree with you. And, you know, another thing here, too, I mean, Sloan, you know, he's basically, you know, his website is basically focusing on national shit, goofy stuff. His website has, you know, his talking point, for example, is, you know, that all life is sacred. So he's against abortion, you know, but that's not a candidate for a local office. If he wants to run for something, get the hell out of the local stage because you're not doing us anything. You're not doing us any fingers. You know, you're sitting here trying to talk about abortion. We have nothing to do with that.
So we have a pro-life. We have a pro-life council critter. They don't fund it. They don't approve it. They don't outlaw it. So why are we wasting our time discussing? You know, we might as well discuss global warming with our council
sure.
too, because they don't have anything to do with it.
Sure.
And there's a lot out on global warming today. We may get to that later in the week. I don't know. So let's look at Angela Leet there, folks. I hope you do. You've got a week to do your research. We're giving you names of people to research. Do your due diligence. This district, man, I just hate to even talk about it. There's no way that anybody's going to be able to predict a winner here, although we can narrow the field a little bit, and that's District 9. You've got 13 people running for this seat. Tina Warren-Hugh has decided she's not going to run for this seat again. She's going to finish her term, so we're going to get a new member in there. It purely is, District 9 purely is probably one of the most so-called progressive places there are. 13 people anywhere from the age of 31 all the way up to 70-something. You got one retired judge. You got two former elected officials, five attorneys, a professional fundraiser. You've got all these different activists. We look at this, and I can't help but think, damn. How do you even sit in here and have a conversation about who to vote for here? And I want to give you some names to look at here, folks. And I tell you, there's one in particular that I do like, but I'm going to give you some names to look here, folks. You've got Jane Bennett, Greg Bork, Mike Brooks, J.P. Davis, Chris Hartley, Bill Hollander, Stephen Imhoff, Jonathan Musselwhite, Betty Neamy, Molly Younger, Benjamin Vaughn. These are names for District 9 for a seat. This is one of the reasons that I think we really truly should have nonpartisan Metro Council races. If you make them nonpartisan, when you get to a district like this, then you have a runoff election in the general. The top two vote getters face each other in the general election. Because what you're going to have here is you're going to have somebody with 20% of the vote or less win this particular election, because whoever wins this primary is your next council person in the Metro Council District 9. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and if they're fracturing the votes so far, I mean, there's knowns, there's unknowns. I mean, it really comes down to, and very possibly, who has the most family members or who has the most coworkers living in that district, because that's what you're looking at. I mean, they're going to fracture that vote. It'll be fun to watch, because they're going to fracture that vote probably so bad that you're going to have, a lot of times these turnouts are pretty abysmal anyway. Somebody wins 1,300 sure. to 800 or something like that. I mean, this could very well be, somebody's going to land themselves a $42,000 a year job, get access to the non-discretionary vote buying money, and have a vote on all sorts of things on our city council, and be able to hire one of their lackeys for about $40,000 a year too as their legislative assistant. And they're going to do it with about 135 votes.
That's it. That's exactly it. This is exactly one reason why we need nonpartisan elections. Take the two top vote getters. I mean, even in the let's look at the judges' race. We do that a lot. Katie King in her election faced a runoff in the general election. The top two vote getters for the seat faced each other in the general election in November. And I think we should do that with Metro Council as well. And this is exactly why. But there is one guy that I'm kind of leaning towards in that district, if you can say that. His name is Mike Brooks. I hate to say it because I know the Courier-Journal endorsed Mike Brooks, but I like the fact that he stood up against all of this campaign money stuff. You've got J.P. Davis and Bill Hollander have raised over $50,000 each, according to their own campaign finance report. Assistant County Attorney Chris Hartley raised over $37,000. These are guys who have access to the money people, the insiders, if you will. Mike Brooks is one of the candidates. He actually went out and said, if we're going to sell our seat in Metro Council to wealthy donors from outside the district, we should probably get a lot more for it than a few billboards and some mailers. And I saw that quote from Brooks, and I started laughing, and then I started paying attention, and I'm like, that makes sense in the world. So then you've got others that got extremely upset over that. Hollander was upset over it. All these people are getting upset. And when you look at this, and you pay attention, Brooks is right. The money that's coming into these people is from outside the district. that has nothing to do with the district. It's coming from, you know, they've got access to the millionaire. They just make a phone call. I mean, even Greg Fisher has already decided to endorse Hollander. That's the first red flag that needs to, you know, that says we need to get out away from him. So I like Brooks' courage of standing up as a Democrat and worried about the party and saying, hey, you guys are screwed up. I like it a lot.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, based on attitude alone, because Lord knows there's enough lackeys out there, there's enough people playing politics. When I hear numbers like that, in a fractured race like that, I hear people, not how much you raised, how much have you sold? It's what you're doing. You know, because it's not like everybody has that many friends who just think they're so great that they're going to throw money at them and not get some sort of payback is coming. So, yeah, I like the fact he hasn't raised a boatload of money. I like the fact that he's rebelling against money in politics. Yes, he's not doing it with legislation. He's doing it with attitude. And, I can respect a little bite like that.
Well, that's it. And we're getting some comments in the chat room from Puma Martin. One of them is that nonpartisan races for local government would make a big difference on many levels. It would at least cut down on the Metro Council bickering. I totally agree with that. And when you talk about District 9, rule out all candidates with Metro Power Brokers that are associated with Metro Power Brokers. And if you do that, that brings you down to Mike Brooks, Ms. Snow, and a couple of others. So if you get rid of the insider power brokers, you get rid of the insider money, and just focus on the candidates who are out there doing the legwork, door-to-door campaigning. They're not trying to buy your vote for name recognition with a miller. They're trying to get you to vote for them based on who they are. So I like a lot of that. So I'm looking at everybody. But I think Brooks, I might have to agree with the Courier Journal on that endorsement. And folks, you don't know how bad that's making my stomach turn to agree with them on anything. And then we go to District 15. District 15, the incumbent is Mary Ann Butler. She's serving her second term right now in District 15. And she's facing Kalila Collins and Blake Oliver. Kalila Collins is a community activist, former Marine, struggling single mother. She came to Louisville and earned a bachelor's degree, a master's degree in social work. That's what she does. She now works for the Center for Women and Families. Mr. Oliver is a former lobbyist. That automatically discounts him, in my opinion, regardless of anything. Currently consults Kindred Care. And he's not very shy about talking trash about Mary Ann Butler. Mary Ann Butler, as far as I've heard, is one of the biggest insider sellouts. Her whole family has been. Mary Ann Butler was also involved in a conversation where her and Jim King tried to buy me the District 14 Metro Council seat. Oh my God, he finally went public and said that. Yes, I did. I met with Jim King after everything went down with the charges we had. It was supposed to be a private meeting to bury the hatchet, if you will, because I've been blackballed by Jim King in this town. It's hard to get advertising dollars because people are scared of the kingdom, and that's fine. But a mutual acquaintance decided that we should meet, maybe bury the hatchet, make sure King knew that I didn't make it personal, which I tried to do, because it never was personal with King. It was a matter of keeping him honest, just like I do everybody. And, he made it personal. He started trying to leak personal information to different people, had me followed, all kinds of crazy stuff. But at this meeting, Mary Ann Butler was there with him. So when I walked in expecting to have a one-on-one meeting with Jim King off the record, Mary Ann Butler is sitting beside him. So I initiate the conversation, told King the reasons why I did everything I did, and no love lost. It's not personal. Go on about your merry way. I put the olive branch. And then King and Mary Ann Butler started asking me if I would switch to Democrat and run in District 14 and assured me that they could help me win that seat. When I refused to do that because I knew it was nothing more than a buy-off, I don't sell out to anybody, then they went a different direction and tried to tell me that if I would switch to Democrat, they would make sure that I had all the consulting business that I could handle and make all kinds of money because I was so skilled in politics. Mary Ann Butler was part of that. Attempted to bribe, in my opinion. You can call it what you want, but they tried to bribe me, and I refused it. So I still suffer consequences for that today, which is still why it's hard to get advertising dollars and things like that. But Marianne Butler is as crooked as they come, as far as I'm concerned. Her and Jim King were locked at the hip for quite some time, although they had a falling out for a little while. Now they've made up. You know, I've got major problems with that. So for me, I would rather take somebody like Collins that is really truly has an inspiring story. So I think I would take a chance on Kalila Collins if I'm in that district. Go ahead.
Yeah, I tell you, and I've often said it, Collins sounds, you know, being a social worker especially, it sounds like she's got a pretty solid liberal pedigree. But I can respect an honest liberal. I've always said that. I like Ed Marksberry as, you know, as senatorial. So I can respect an honest liberal. And she sounds like an honest liberal, somebody who has both benefited from and helps administer and, you know, and sees that more traditional liberal side of things, you know, the social work side. My wife was a social worker for a long time. I can respect that. And once again, boots on the ground, you know, no pun intended, but she's working with an abused and criminally abused, in many cases, element of society. So I think it's, you know, I'm definitely not one that wants to see a bunch of holier-than-now, tight-ass, blue-nosed conservatives absolutely dominate any branch of government. I think it's good to have good, honest liberals and good, honest conservatives in there that can get along and know how to make things happen. So I'm all for it. You know, a non-insider, honest liberal, I'm all for it.
Well, I'm totally with you. This has nothing to do with liberalism or conservatism. It has to do with people who deserve. And, you know, Kalila Collins, I mean, when you take somebody like that, it's hard enough for a young single mother. I mean, you're going to struggle with everything. You know, she's a former Marine, so she learned her dedication and hard work being a Marine. And she proved that it paid off because she came to Louisville. You know, she got a bachelor's degree, got a master's degree. You know, in social work. Now she works for the Center for Women and Families, giving back to the community. You know, I mean, the Center for Women and Families, folks, that's a tough road. You see the worst of the worst when it comes to women and kids being abused and things like that. Men are abused too. Don't get me wrong. All right. But the fact that she worked and was able to overcome the adversity and make a difference like that, that tells me that that's somebody who truly cares.
Yeah.
About
and
people.
And to me, and it's also the fact that she's a frontline warrior. She's not one of these people that sits back and signs a few papers and buys a few votes or tries to play their WWE-style politics or something like that. She's right down there. She's in the trenches, just like our maintenance guy and everything else. They're in the trenches. They see the delivery of services. They see who the clients are. They see how the services are delivered. And I think it's vitally important that we have people that actually understand how the services are delivered and how they affect the people that they're delivered to.
Well, and I agree with you, and that's what I'm thinking. You know, so I like Kalila Collins in this. I hope that the people in District 15 give her a serious look. You know, I'm not discounting, you know, the other guy, if you will, but, you know, he's spending all his time just doing the negative mudslinging. That's just something we're tired of. But she is successful. She's been in the trenches. She obviously cares about people in her community. Marianne Butler really doesn't. It's all about family power and prestige. Get rid of her. Start some new blood there. The final district we'll talk about tonight really is District 21. so much we could say about this. We'll talk about this district and take a quick break. But District 21, incumbent is Dan Johnson. He is the longest continuously serving legislator in Louisville Metro government. He was a former alderman, and when we switched to the Metro Council, he got elected to the council, and he's been there ever since. Folks, I tell you what, you talk about a guy that really needs to go, and I actually like Dan on a personal level. But this guy, to me, as a politician, is a nut job. He goes where the money calls him. Jim King is his favorite pocket to pull out of. You know, he sat here. He's made all these issues over nothing. He's nothing but a fanatic about the NBA. It seems like that's the only issue he cares about. He goes out and fills a couple of potholes on a road in his district, which is a good thing, I guess, you know. But, you know, typically just to get your votes, what else have you done? You know, those are the things that are really kind of strange to me. His opponent, Eric Shoemake, is 60 years old. He's a retired railroad worker. He is a minister. You know, but Johnson, even the Courier-Journal and their endorsement of Johnson, which they endorsed, obviously, you know, even in their endorsement of Johnson, said that, you know, during their interview, Johnson mentioned former Mayor Jerry Abramson so often, they even wondered who the hell he was running against. So that tells you a lot about Johnson there. And then, of course, you've got Eric Shoemake, his opponent. The Courier-Journal says they didn't talk to him about any concrete ideas, and the only reason he said he was running was it's a free country. So clearly, I think Dan Johnson wins this race, probably because there's nobody else really in the race. Shoemake is not a good candidate for this race. You know, but I tell you, man, when is the Republican Party going to stand up? Because there's nobody in the Republican Party signed up to run. So whoever wins this primary, again, is going to be your next Metro Council member. I'm fairly sure it's going to be Dan Johnson. But it's another example of what's wrong with the political climate in Louisville that we don't put up candidates. Go ahead.
Well, aside from the O'Connell endorsement, which was more of a jaw-dropper than anything, this endorsement, I actually read it a couple of times because it made me laugh. I mean, it was one of the best endorsements. And like I said, you know, the Courier-Journal, to come out against a long-serving Democrat the way they did, where they said they were flummoxed after this interview, which basically... You know, they were all looking at each other going, mother of God, is that the best that district has to offer? Because at the end of their endorsement, they basically said, you know, if you want to put it in warehouse vernacular, they were basically begging for someone with a brain capable of critical thought to run next time, because they said this race is so bad. These people that are running, both Democrats, are so bad. Right. They're basically, the Courier-Journal literally begged for somebody to run against Dan Johnson next round.
I agree.
Oh my God. I can't believe it. So I went back and read it again. I literally laughed out loud when I read it. I'm like, boy, they nailed it.
You're right.
Unfortunately, Dan wins. It sounds like either candidate who wins is going to be, you know, we know Dan is absolutely the best rubber stamp the local Democratic machine ever got. And that's the reason, you know, we've got a guy who struggles to walk and chew gum at the same time, but he casts his vote right up to and including being part of the Shanklin Seven. Don't want to get rid of Barbara because she's got dirt on people. But, I mean, I just laughed at that. It's like, yeah, Dan Johnson wins in a romp. Surely to God he's been in there long enough that he can get his pension. Just, Dan, next time, just get your pension and go home. Seriously.
Well, yeah, he has.
I mean, it's just... I have to be honest, I loved that Courier-Journal endorsement. Because it's basically like, wow, we were pretty, you know, they used the word flummox. We were flummox, pretty bad. And for lack of anything better, we'll endorse Johnson. But hey, please, anyone reading this that has a brain, consider running next time. We'll endorse you.
I know. That's what's so hilarious about it. I mean, even the Courier-Journal occasionally can't even fathom what they're writing. And that's a good thing there. When they say they're flummoxed, I have met with a Courier-Journal editorial board, okay? It takes a hell of a lot to make these guys flummoxed, believe me. You know, you've got three or four people there in most cases, depending on who's available that day when they want to interview you. You know, and they're primary players. It's not just like a reporter. I mean, you've got the news editors and directors, all that stuff. You know, so you're sitting with the top of the line people, and they've heard it all. You know what I mean? And they sit there, and when you're talking to them, I mean, they really look bored. They might as well be reading their own newspaper when you're a Republican answering a question. But, you know, to sit there and admit that you're flummoxed, that's a big step for these guys. And, you know, and I agree with them. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, Dan Johnson has been has been one of the best Democrat insiders money can buy. That's the truth. You know, you can make of that anything you want to. But the reality is he really has no competition with this guy. This Shoemake guy is not anybody who's going to compete at that level with Dan Johnson. Dan Johnson's going to have the money and the power and the people behind him to make sure that he gets the vote. So it's a done deal. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we do want to talk a little bit about Mitch McConnell, Allison Grimes, and Matt Bevin. We'll probably carry more of that into tomorrow, I'm sure. But, you know, there's some new things coming out about Allison London and Grimes towards the end of the week last week and her role in the cockfighting debate. Yep, you heard me, the cockfighting debate. Why in the hell this is such a big issue is beyond me, but it's going to be an interesting story. We'll talk about it in just a minute. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. We'll be back.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
We are back right here at the Ed Springsteen Show on the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com. And don't forget to join our RSS feed and our email list while you're there, and we'll make sure all shows and any content gets delivered straight to your inbox. We spent a lot of time on these local races this hour. You know, we're getting close to the end of the show, but we have to talk about this other story. Allison Lundgren Grimes, as we call her, Allison Wonderland Grimes. I tell you, this candidate has done so much wrong in this. She almost makes Matt Bevin look smart in the Republican primary against Mitch McConnell. But, you know, Mitch McConnell and Matt Bevin have been going head-to-head. We have a new survey out that says McConnell is basically just beating the hell out of Matt Bevin, which we expected. This just came out. So, you know, we've got this story on Mitch McConnell where he is ahead of Matt Bevin like 57-25 and essentially in a dead heat with Allison Lundgren Grimes for the general election in November. So we're pretty confident Mitch McConnell is going to win. But what makes this so fascinating is this whole cockfighting deal has become such a big issue. Matt Bevin, of course, said that he was at an event that was all about states' rights. Turned out to be a lie. It was all about legalizing cockfighting. So that has been a disturbing issue. Now Allison Lundgren Grimes is being accused by a relative of Greg Stumbo of being supportive of cockfighting. Your thoughts?
It wouldn't surprise me because let's face it, Mitch's crew is they're the pros. Whether it comes to painting him in a certain light. Whether it comes to destroying your opponent, Mitch's people are pros. Bevan's people and Grimes's people, it seems like amateur hour. I mean, I'm not a big Mitch fan, but the man knows how to run a campaign. The others, as far as, like you say, I've said it before about Bevan. I know I've met Matt. I like Matt. But the way his campaign is being run, up to and including this cockfighting thing, is kind of an amateur hour thing. And the same can be said for Grimes. They make such an effort. It becomes so painfully obvious that they make this effort to keep her on script and on a very short leash. They're scared of something.
Well, they are.
It seems to me amateur hour. I would say she seems to bounce whatever Mitch is doing. She tries to, whether it's supporting Cole or supporting this, and she doesn't get all on board. So she seems to try to mold herself around what Mitch is up to. And the cockfighting thing, now all of a sudden somebody's coming out doing it. It's like, well, get ready.
Well, I mean, that's exactly it.
The McConnell attack machine is gearing up for you, Allison, and this is not going to be pretty.
Well, that's exactly it. And, this is the whole thing. I mean, here we've got, Greg Stumble. This shouldn't surprise anybody that he's somewhere involved in this. Supposedly, this is a distant cousin that is running this cockfighting ring. But it's interesting because this, the big secret that nobody wants to talk about, and it's not a closed secret, it's an open secret. The big secret is that cockfighting is basically $1 million a year operation. There's a hell of a lot of money in cockfighting. What's disturbing is that our politicians know it's illegal and they turn the other way. They even have a video of a Kentucky state trooper going to a cockfight in uniform from a couple of years ago, not arresting anybody. It's illegal. It's illegal. This guy McDowell apparently has a full arena. He's got arena seating. They have an on-site restaurant that serves breakfast and lunch during cockfighting meets, if you will, for lack of a better term, with stadium seating. And Kentucky authorities have been looking away for years and years and years. And this is the major problem. How can they justify this? Now you've got Greg Stumbo involved. Walter Dale Stumbo is a cousin of Greg Stumbo, and he's the one who has been running this McDowell cockfighting pit. Went on record and said that Allison Lundigan Grimes was supportive of cockfighting and would help them after they take out Mitch McConnell. So I'm really seriously having concerns here because Allison Lundigan Grimes, of course, is arguing that she has nothing to do here. She didn't know anything about this. This is all a lie. But with the amateur hour that you pointed out, I can't discount this. And when you talk about Greg Stumbo and his family's involved in this, this just puts up even more red flags. You know what I mean? Anything there that bothers you?
Well, one of the things that bothers me is that this place, I don't know if they have a business license or not. Have some kind of license. They're serving meals and whatnot. And does our Secretary of State not know what kind of businesses she's collecting her taxes on?
Now, there's no business license involved here. For one thing, you can't get a business license for cockfighting.
Yeah.
The restaurant is an on-site restaurant, so they're running it indoors.
But again, she's a constitutionally elected officer. And the state's run by the Democrats. This guy's name is Stumbo. Whether Allison literally or speaking has blood on her hands or not, I don't think that's the big issue. I think the big issue comes up that somebody said it, the McConnell campaign has it, so true or not, we're off to the races. It's going to be one of those things whether validated or not. Allison might as well get used to it. It's like you see what happened to Matt Bevan, maybe amateur hour. I tend to believe that Matt doesn't condone fighting, blood sports with animals. But you know, that's neither here nor there. It's all local.
Well, what's interesting here,
local and national. And the thing that kills me about it is like, okay, Kentucky, you know, we've got enough bad reputations, and we've got a lot of good reputations too. But we have that sometimes on a national scale because I travel around the country certain times of the year, California and whatnot, you know, and you know, we have that backwoods,
right,
you know, deliverance thing going sometimes, is whether it's, you know, I have a lot of people look at me and say, you're from Kentucky? Wow. You don't act like you're from, it's like, oh, really, really act like you're from Kentucky.
You don't act like, yeah, a hillbilly,
huh? You don't
sound
like you're from Kentucky.
Yeah.
But what the hell is that supposed to mean? Am I supposed to have a dip in my lower lip or something? But, you know, we have these issues, and now, thanks to the McConnell campaign and thanks to the Bevin campaign, and, you know, it's going to be perpetuated. Great.
That's
anybody
it.
Tuning into our local, into our statewide races from anywhere else in the country is going to see, well, what are they arguing about now in Kentucky? Cockfighting.
Well, I tell you, you know, it really makes it interesting because Walter Stumbo, this all came about because of an affidavit that he swore to. Anytime somebody takes an affidavit, folks, you take that. You swear to tell the truth and all that stuff, but when you sign that affidavit and you take that affidavit, it's very clear that when you put out this affidavit, that is under the penalty of perjury laws, which means if you get caught lying, you just perjured yourself. You can be prosecuted for that. So, you know, Walter Stumbo put all this in his affidavit. You know, according to the affidavit, he was thinking about shutting down the operation because the new federal law that Mitch McConnell actually passed, that was going to basically eliminate cockfighting, you know, he worked to pass, you know, was going to shut him down anyway, so they were thinking about shutting it down. But there was a speech given before the April 4th fights in which Walter Stumbo said that he had people in Kentucky that were going to change the federal law but couldn't publicly come out and say it. Now, since Mitch McConnell voted to make this federal law, then the only person we would really worry about would be a Rand Paul or a John Yarmuth, and I know Rand Paul doesn't support cockfighting. So when they talked about the powerful people that were going to work to change this federal law, Walter Stumbo specifically mentioned Allison Lundigan Grimes and House Speaker Greg Stumbo as two of those powerful people who were going to change that law and allow them to stay in business. So, you know, you don't throw your cousin under the bus like that. You don't throw the Democratic challenger for that seat, you know, to run against Mitch McConnell at the federal level like that. You don't just randomly throw that about, and you certainly don't swear to it in an affidavit if it's not true. I mean, this guy's in enough trouble, I get that, but, you know, I don't know where, I just have a hard time believing that it's not true, which means Allison Lundigan Grimes is about as screwed up as we thought she was.
Yeah, or this guy is beyond stupid, one of the two. I mean, a lot of times you don't make a statement like that. Like you say, you don't make it under oath, and you don't make it against powerful people if you don't have something to back it up. So it'll be interesting going forward, you know, if Allison comes out and says, oh, hell no, I'm all for getting rid of cockfighting. Maybe he's got a recording. Maybe he's got a, you know, a credit card receipt or something. It's like, oh, yes, I, as a matter of fact, I was sitting down talking to her, you know, or her people or her phone record or something. I mean, you would think that he's got something. You don't sit down and do an affidavit and just pull something out of thin air and have other people easily refute it and, like you said, run the risk of perjury and going to jail or getting sued or anything like that. So it'd be interesting, you know, as things go forward to see if he's actually got anything that he can back it up with or if he just expects us to take him at his word.
Oh, I agree with you. And I think that that's where we're at. And, you know, so we'll find out eventually. But we did go into overdrive for a few minutes, folks. Sorry about that, but I really wanted to get that story in. We spent a little bit longer on the local graces than we expected to, and, of course, the start of the show was a little weird anyway. So one of those days, that's all I could tell you. Ed Martin, final thoughts.
Final thoughts, you know, like you said, we're bouncing around on the local races. If you're not from the Louisville area, sorry about that, but you know, it's kind of a horse race. We're still in that mode, so we kind of have a good time with it. And on a more serious note, you know, we want to put the names out there because there is a machine in place in Louisville politics, and it's not just a Democrat machine, but it's a Republican machine too, where certain candidates, incumbents, and or try to get, you know, we try to, the powers that be try to keep things where they're at and keep them manageable. Ed and I like to, if we can make it a little unmanageable from time to time. So, you know, hopefully, like Ed said, you know, we threw ours out there for God's sake, don't take us, especially since most of the races we were talking about were Democrat. You know, don't take our word for it. But do your research and go into it with an open mind. I mean, the PR machine, the Courageless Journal and everything, they're going to take the easy route. But, you know, the easy route gets us in trouble a lot of times. And the easy route makes it really easy for the people that are controlling the political machines to do what they want to do and keep you in the dark. So I can't vote in your races and stuff, and neither can Ed. We can only vote in our races in the districts we live in. But I would encourage people to get out there and, you know, unless you have some compelling reason to vote for an incumbent, what the hell, shake things up. Pick the best challenger and go with it.
Well, I tell you, I agree with a lot of what you just said, too. I mean, folks, it's real simple. You know, our goal here and our mission has always been to keep you informed because we believe that people informed make better choices. And I think that's a way of life for everybody. We want to help you improve your life. Now we're starting to sound like one of those, you know, infomercial sales guys. We want to improve your life. Take this pill. No, it's not like that. The way you improve your life is to really get involved in who makes the decisions that are going to affect your life. Our politicians do that, but all politics are local for a reason. While our local politicians want to sit here and scream about John Yarmuth or scream about Mitch McConnell or scream about Rand Paul, they're ignoring that local metro council race. They're ignoring that local judge who is going to make decisions that are going to affect your life and many others. Our goal isn't here to sit here and tell you who to vote for. Our goal is to give you a list of candidates at this time of year in any election cycle. Our goal is to tell you to get informed. I mean, the reality is this. If you're listening to this show, and there are thousands and thousands of you, and we're so grateful for it, or if you're reading, you know, LouisvillePolitics.com, again, thousands and thousands of you. But if you're reading those and you're listening to this show, then you have Internet access. The Internet is your best friend. You can get any information on anybody just about any time that you want to. So all we're telling you to do your homework, do your research, you know, but we're going to bring you the truth. The story I told you tonight about Marianne Butler and Jim King is a true story. I've never went public with that before, but that's how serious I am about these elections going forward. We have to make a difference. We can only make that difference when we stand together as one. When we stand together as one, nobody can stop us, not even that Democrat machine that runs this town or even the politicians in the Unit Party in general across this whole country. God bless America, folks. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow night, Mr. Martin.
All right, sir.
All right, sir. Take care, folks. Been nice being with you. We'll see you tomorrow.